This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, we celebrate Queen Victoria's birthday by discussing Google I.O., Flash Fiber, SaskTel, revelations from The Guardian on what they're calling the Facebook files, and lots more this week on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oleodigitallabs.com. And we're also sponsored by CodeShip, continuous integration and delivery software that lets you ship your apps with confidence. Both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Visit CodeShip.com today to find out which CodeShip product is right for you.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 116 for Monday, May 22nd, 2017, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs and CodeShip. My name is Stuart Clark.
My name is Derek Silva.
Well, Derek, it's Victoria Day here, so happy Victoria Day to all our Canadian listeners.
Yeah, happy birthday, close to the birthday of a dead queen.
That's right. But, you know, she was actually pretty cool.
I'll give, you know, sure.
She came up with those terms, we are not amused, and all that other good stuff. And you had the Victorian age, Victorian steampunk. What more do you need? You know?
Sure.
The Victorian sponge.
Yeah, it's all due to her.
It's all her. But that's fine. That's fine.
You know, yeah, if you hear what sounds like a gunshot in the distance, I've not, in fact, been shot. And Stuart probably hasn't either. At least it's unlikely that I've been shot. That's probably just a very large firework going off because I live in a affluent neighborhood. And, of course, everybody gets their own fireworks out because they can afford it.
They can afford it and, you know, way to go. You know, you know something, Counselor. You could probably stop that.
No.
The noise. That's the answer. That's all you got to say.
Even if I wanted to, the noise bylaw, I don't think would let me complain about fireworks until after 11.
There you go. So,
and even then, I'd have to call the cops, and that's just not worth it. Especially when so many live in my neighborhood. If they really have a problem with it, they can just get out of the car, get out of their house themselves, and do something about it.
Get off my lawn, you kids! All right.
Something like
anyway.
That.
Anyway. All right, lots more tech again. We're going to start, of course, with our quick hits.
So, WannaCry, which made many people want to cry.
Yes.
The recent ransomware hubbub that ate the world, seemingly. According to Kaspersky Lab, over 98% of the documented WannaCry infections were on computers running versions of Windows 7, which might surprise a lot of people. Apparently, the big thing was that the Samba file share implementation was never quite done correctly on Windows 7. I can attest to that.
Yep.
and it was vulnerable. There had some vulnerabilities in there. And so, what is this? 91, 94, 95, 96. Oh, sorry. Over 98% of them.
Yep.
We're running on Windows machines running Windows 7. So, yeah, XP definitely was not the problem. So good for you if you're running it.
However, you got to keep it patched.
Yeah, well, you got an emergency patch from Microsoft recently. So hopefully you applied it if you're still running Windows XP. Google I.O. was last week, and oh my gosh, there was some really, really cool things announced. I'm scrolling down here through this Verge article, which turns out to be rather useless. Okay, highlights for me. Google Home is coming to Canada in the coming months, sometime this summer, they said. So Google, you got till September 21st to get it out here. I want one. Google Pay, or Android Pay, sorry, is coming to Canada in the coming months as well. Maybe at the same time, who knows? Google or Android O was unveiled. It is coming to Pixel and Nexus devices very, very soon. a lot of cool things. We've already discussed a little bit about performance improvements, boot faster, that sort of thing. Google Lens really stole the show in a lot of ways. It's going to be built into Google Assistant, and I think into Google Allo, and probably other places as well.
Now, isn't this really like a Google Goggles Mark II? You remember Google Goggles
yes,
a couple of years ago?
I would agree, but it right. really is the next level, right? So yeah, not only does it take Word Lens functionality, which is something they bought a few years ago and baked into Google Translate, where it can translate menus and street signs on the fly, but basically it is like ultimate image recognition. If you have a storefront, it'll recognize that and tell you, if the store has restaurant has a Google listing and give you the ratings and what kind of place it is and all that. The one really, really cool thing is like identifying species of flowers and frogs and foxes and stuff like that. I think that was really amazing. I told my oldest son about it and he was like, that's so cool. So that was neat. If you buy something like a D-Link router, which I know has a sticker on the side with your default network name and password on there, wireless network name and password, you can hold Google Lens up to that. It'll automatically recognize all of that information and store it for you. Some very, very cool things. You can do things from there, so you can actually talk to Google Assistant and tell it to do information or tell it to do things with the information it's gathering from the video or the photo. So don't know when that's going to be available yet, but it's going to be available soon. And did you have anything else in particular
that was pretty well it. I did see something about Google Assistant apparently coming to Apple iOS.
Yes.
Which is, again, I kind of see the point, but I also kind of think, I don't think it'll be, and it's not going to be, you're not going to be able to get into a lot, everything that Siri can. But again, I suppose it has some use.
I think it's going to go a lot further than what you could do with something like Google Now or the Google Search app up until now. Because if you've got Google Assistant in there, which you can chat to, you can also chat to Google Assistant via text soon instead of just voice. Mm-hmm. So that will make a lot of people happy. It's the same reason you bring Cortana over. However, with Google Lens being built in to the Google Assistant app, I think that really pushes the level of integration a lot deeper, or the functionalities a lot deeper and wider than before, and could act as a halo effect for people who finally give up on Siri. But really want something like Siri. Android Wear was not featured at all, that certainly throws the future in the air a little bit. But the other really cool thing I noticed was Google's visual positioning service. So you get these new Tango phones, which apparently are just as thin as normal phones now, despite all the extra sensors inside. And they showed a demo video of somebody walking around a Lowe's hardware store and the phone just capturing all of this visual and spatial data all over the place, and then being able to help someone like me or you actually navigate the store, like down to the centimeter. Like, where are the steel chainsaws, and it can take you right there and put you right in front of the chainsaws or the screwdrivers or whatever you're looking for.
You know what, that's good to help find things, but again, still doesn't replace a knowledgeable staff member, but I think it'll be good for that.
Well, the number of times I'm actually able to find a knowledgeable staff member at a Lowe's are few and far between. So
you know why? They're because they avoid you. I'm just saying, I have no problem finding it. That's why I like Lowe's over the other store.
Oh, the other store, I actually know the layout really well, so I just go there instead most of the time. Whereas I just have trouble finding people in general, like employees, no matter where I go these days.
You're scaring them. What can I say?
Yeah, it's the bald head. Anyway,
it must be the bald head. All right.
I really enjoyed most of the announcements. I'm looking forward to my all Google future. And upload me to the cloud as soon as possible.
There you go. You heard him here first. Upload him to the cloud.
I'm being slightly facetious, but yes. The Durham region, just east, east of Toronto, is getting a $400 million injection via fiber optic from a company called Flash Fiber, minus the E. They're from Oakville, and they're going to be hooking up people across the Durham region with fiber optic internet, TV, and voice services. Their goal is to provide home customers with speeds between 300 megabits and 1 gigabit per second, while business customers are going to get or should expect speeds between 1 gigabit at the low end and 10 gigabits per second at the high end. Son of a gun. So, of course, they went on to do a little bit of poking and prodding at their competitors, you know, talking about how fiber typically stops at the street or at the node in a lot of cases, whereas these guys are going to be doing fiber to the premise, fiber to the home, to the building directly. Very cool. Good on Flash Fiber. Good on Durham Region for attracting this investment. It's 600,000 people roughly that could benefit. So, and apparently the average speed right now in the city of Oshawa, which is the largest municipality in Durham, is only 11.5 megabits per second. So I think they need this. So good for them.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it.
Similarly, SaskTel is going to spend $45.9 million on LTE infrastructure in Saskatchewan this year. That's $331 million throughout the province of Saskatchewan last year and this year. Over $1.4 billion over the next 5 years. That $45.9 million specifically is for the wireless network improvements. And the majority of that, $33.5 million, towards expanding and upgrading its existing 4G LTE network. The other $3.1 is going to go towards SaskTel Select Wi-Fi network. They're trying to add another 2,380 Wi-Fi hotspots across the province. Again, good for Saskatchewan. This is nice to see carriers all over the place and companies investing in network infrastructure that is certainly needed. And that's one of the quick hits.
Yep, exactly. You know, Saskel, they actually say here, you know, they want to stay current with their technological investment, and upgrading our network is critical in delivering world-class products. Speaking of delivering world-class products, how's that for a segue? We're going to have, I always want to say a word from our sponsor, but they're more than our sponsor. They're our supporters. So go ahead.
Olio Digital Labs is one of Canada's most accomplished small market agencies delivering web and mobile apps to businesses across the country. In this era of persistent connectivity and pervasive mobile devices, it is becoming more important than ever before for businesses to be everywhere their employees and customers are. So, Olio provides its customers with the peace of mind only a highly skilled and experienced team can provide, and that's a team that's big enough to support your needs, but flexible enough to work to your constraints. And when you look at a client list spanning from Middlesex London Health Unit and Ellison Travel and Tours, all the way up to College Pro and Bell Media, it's clear that the team at Olio has proven itself to be the planners, designers, and builders of the web and mobile apps used by some of Canada's largest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you by calling 226-785-0420 or just visit oleodigitallabs.com to learn more. That's Olio Digital Labs, code that powers every day.
And we'd like to thank we'd like to thank Olio Digital Labs for their ongoing support of the Canadian Tech Podcast. Okay, the British newspaper The Guardian on Sunday released a series of stories called the Facebook Files. They received a leak, basically some manuals on what's guidelines, rules, and that for moderators of the social media site. And so The Guardian has seen more than 100 internal training manuals, spreadsheets, and flowcharts that basically how they moderate things. Facebook, like many other sites, Twitter and things like that, they're having a lot of issues and challenges, frankly, about trying to draw the very fine line between censorship, moderation, in terms of the modern technology. We've heard stories about people being killed and that being broadcast, suicides, revenge porn, stuff like this. So it's a very interesting behind the scenes look. And I know Facebook's one area, you know, they're looking at, they're trying to figure out how to manage this. So I certainly don't envy them the task, but here's some interesting stats just about this. They had 54,000 potential cases of revenge pornography on the site in a single month. They had to disable 14,000 accounts related to these type of abuse. 33 of those cases involved children. What else we got here? They escalated 2,450 to law enforcement. There's some huge things going on. And then when you talk about, they talk about how many people joined the site, and some of the things. So some of the stuff, and you know, from the manual here, for example, they've got a slide here called credible violence. So if someone said, and this is from the manual, someone shoot Trump, that's right to be deleted. Mm-hmm. But apparently these comments, and I quote, kick a person with red hair, end quote. Next quote, to snap a bitch's neck, make sure to apply all your pressure to the middle of her throat, end quote. Quote, let's beat up fat kids, end quote. Those are all valid, apparently. I mean, something can stay on the site. So, yeah, there's really some different things, and again, I'm not going to go say too many more of these. You can read some of the links we have up here. But, yeah, it's a really challenging thing. And, you know, you've got organizations, and I have to kind of agree, some governments want this to open it up. Like, they want to know what are some of these so-called secret rules for moderating content. I know one of the recent ones recently was the Facebook deleted. It's a very famous photograph from the Vietnam War some children who suffered a napalm attack. And there's a group of children running towards the camera person, and one girl is naked. You can't really see anything because she's burned, but they actually deleted that. What are your comments?
They did eventually put it back up.
They did eventually put it back.
The damage is done.
Yep. Go ahead, Derek. What do you think of this?
I certainly don't envy them either. I don't envy having to draft up rules for policing the website. Certainly, this is not a free speech thing. It's a private platform. It's a private company. They can do whatever they want. But I struggle reconciling, some of the examples you just gave where, you know, if somebody says, shoot POTUS or something like that, that's not okay. But the other three examples, somehow they are. I don't get that. Especially like quite prescriptive about how to snap somebody's neck. Like that's quite prescriptive. So that's it's instructional. You want to start your own website and do that. That's your business. I'm not going to go to it, but, I can't stop you either, but certainly Facebook does not need to allow that sort of content on the site. And it's, I don't know, man. I don't use Facebook a whole lot, you know, maybe once a day right now lately. I've gotten a couple alerts today, but I haven't even opened up the app or visited the website. I think I have a couple messages I need to read begrudgingly. I don't like using Facebook Messenger, but
no.
Other people insist on using it. So, I'll respond, but I certainly don't start conversations there. I don't know. I'm going to have to go through all this because, I was busy.
This is what I'm really suggesting our listeners do. It's actually a very good and very large series of documents that the Guardians, have done their homework with. Again, a reason why I really like the Guardian as a valid news source. It's definitely worth a read. There is some real interesting stuff here. And again, it highlights what, you know, Facebook, everyone from Facebooks to parents like yourself to everyone, like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a real, like, I'm on the board of a public library system, and we're very beliefs in free speech. But, you know, again, where do you draw the line? So, yeah, definitely.
No, I think I draw the line at encouraging violence or telling mm-hmm. someone how mm-hmm. to inflict a specific type of violence on other people. That's where I would draw the line, because ultimately you're infringing on someone that could infringe on someone else's rights, whether they're a redhead or a woman or a fat or someone overweight. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So, yeah, we're going to have some links on there. Facebook did do a response to the Guardian, so you can read that there in the show notes as well. So definitely check that out. Yeah. Okay, moving on to hopefully a little bit more happier news.
So happy for somebody.
If you're Google, if you're Alphabet, you know, Android active devices, 2 billion. You have a couple of Android devices, if I recall, right?
We have 2 in the house right now.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's like, yeah. So, just amazing. 7 of the companies' core product platforms now reach more than 1 billion monthly active users each. The most impressive statistic was Android, which as of this week has more than 2 billion active devices. Mm-hmm. It's just huge, you know. And again, they want to put Google Assistant in a lot of things, and you know they get data back, and you know, like anything else, it helps make it cleverer and stuff like that. So, you know, I shake my head at these numbers. I really do.
Well, you could shake your head, but at the same time, that means that over 2 billion people can get. Yep. Can get online, can get to the internet, can get information. Like that's incredible.
And when I say I shake my head, in amazement. I should clarify that.
That's good.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I wasn't considering alternate news. I'm just, it's just amazing when you think that these sort of numbers people are bouncing around.
Yeah, keep in mind, current world population is over 7 billion, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
According to the UN, we hit 7 billion back on October 31st.
With iOS. Right. So a bunch of people with iOS, still a few diehard BlackBerry users, and Jamie with his Windows phone. Let's see if we get a comment from him on Twitter.
I imagine we will.
I'm sure we will. That's fine. We're kidding. Well, we should be fair. There's got to be more than one Windows phone, right? They had to test the darn thing, right?
Yeah, but I haven't seen more than Jamie's the only person who guy. I know for sure has one still.
Exactly. He's that guy. There's always one. Always one.
Now,
all right.
Going from Android to a completely different operating system.
Yeah.
So the
Nokia, blast from the past.
Yeah, the Nokia 3310 is out, and there have been some reviews. It has buttons. We all know that.
Duh.
Yeah, a 2.4-inch QVGA color screen. It's actually a pretty nice screen.
They upgraded it.
Yeah. And the back comes off to expose the removable battery, the removable micro SIM, the removable micro SD card. Look at that. The battery you can actually remove, because the last time I remember using a Nokia device, I actually had to open up the back and take the battery out and put it back in every once in a while, because Symbian S60 or the Symbian OS was not the most stable.
And you know the funniest thing is, the reviewer in The Guardian, he adds this paragraph, which I know you'll love. Quote, in the top, there's a micro USB slot for power, which means no more tiny pin Nokia charger. And the bottom has something even Apple's iPhone 7 can't boast. A headphone jack.
A headphone jack and an FM radio. Yes. Honestly, I might buy one of these. And just, it's not for me. It's because I want to be able to get a hold of my kid at certain times. But I don't want him to have a data plan. So, like, we sent our oldest to a Blue Jays game. Well, we didn't send him. He went to a Blue Jays game last weekend with his uncle. His uncle doesn't have kids. His uncle's girlfriend doesn't have kids. They've never had a kid. We've never sent my oldest son with his uncle and his girlfriend anywhere by themselves before. And of course, where are they going? Downtown Toronto to a Blue Jays game at a stadium that holds 50,000 people when the Jays are on a hot streak. So I was a little...
What could go wrong?
I was a little concerned that just like at least, even temporarily they might lose each other. So I almost sent my Portuguese cell phone with him because it connects to Rogers and it roams. And I thought, well, worst case scenario, he can call, you know, set up like a speed dial, just hold 2 and it'll call daddy. or I'd be able to call him and be like, yo, is everything okay? I didn't, but I seriously debated it. But this is a much nicer, cooler looking phone than the tiny Alcatel 4G, whatever the heck it's called, I have. Now I don't miss texting in T9 at all.
Okay.
Or seeing things like MSN weather is, wow, a blast from the past. But it has the Opera Mini web browser, an Opera app store. You can get to YouTube, The Guardian, of course, because The Guardian wrote this review. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter. Like, you know, you can do all that.
You can do a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and you can play Snake in color.
You can play Snake. Okay, the other quote-worthy bit here. The screen is a fingerprint magnet, but then you're not meant to touch it, even though I constantly did.
Yep, it would take a little while to get out of that habit.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, even the camera's not that bad either.
No, it's not. It's actually not that bad. 2.4 megapixels.
Speaker on the back is surprisingly loud. The D-pad is difficult to use without accidentally hitting the select button. That's disappointing. But you know what? And it's £50, so what, $100?
Yeah, about 110. I haven't checked the pound today, but yeah. Yep. Nope. Hey, why not? Good basic phone. The phone for your parents. The phone your parents will love. They probably still have.
The cons. Tedious T9. Expensive. Expensive. It's £50. No Spotify. Not many apps. 2G only. Well, no kidding. I mean, this is clearly not meant for North America, but the fact that you can get it is fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. All right, let's move on. Our good friends at the Ontario Provincial Police, they're also going in the future. I saw this the other day on the TV, and I had to find the story on this. They're going to do a pilot project to help avoid high-speed car chases. It's one of these things, you know, right out of James Bond. Yeah. So they did this in a media pilot project. They were going to arm police cruisers with laser-aimed darts armed with GPS technology. So what's going to happen is, you know, you all of a sudden, you know, the police officer all of a sudden sees a bad guy trying to get away and he's not pulling over. So, you know, after he lights him up, well, what happens is he goes to his handy dandy new panel and the projectiles launch from the front grill and stick to surfaces using adhesives and magnets. And on the start, it has GPS. So at that point, they can just slow down a bit and they can track the vehicle. So apparently, 3 vehicles have been deployed, which started rolling out this weekend. And actually, police in Delta, British Columbia, apparently also started using this. I saw a demo of this and said, you know, hey, it's, you know, each car has 2. They can fire 2 at a time. Yeah, they call it the GPS projectile launching system. They're roughly the size of soup cans, fired from the front grill. If it hits the mark, the projectile will attach, and yeah, so allow the vehicle to be tracked remotely. And yeah, so you know what, if it helps reduce potential problems with high speed pursuits, because high speed pursuits can be dangerous for both mm-hmm. the officer, the criminal, or the person being chased, and members of the public. So yeah, look pretty interesting. I look at the video on that. It was quite impressive. Yeah, something, you know, right out of... I'm waiting for the projectile at some point to have, like, you know, something that will have an EMP that will automatically shock the vehicle and shut the vehicle down. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. Just saying. I mean, I'm kind of surprised they didn't have them up until now, But at the same time, I'm really impressed that the OPP went out and got this. It literally looks like something from like that would open up in the Batmobile.
Yeah, exactly. Or a 007 or whatever. The controls look fairly straightforward. On, off, arm and fire. Just, you know. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So, yeah, that's really all we can say about that. Good for the OPP. So anything that will help make it safer. Okay, this last one is your Tekla E. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, I believe you are. So, this is really neat. So a few years ago, this company called Tekla from Toronto put out a little device, and I've seen this in action, that would hook up to a computer and let you use touchscreen devices. So actually, it would hook up to a tablet or a phone. iPads were popular because they're big tablets, obviously. And the idea is that you get a quickly scrolling vertical line that you would have to trigger with a little tap on a piece of hardware. And then a horizontal line would start doing the same thing. And then you would tap that tap the hardware. And so therefore you'd hopefully put together a crosshairs and the tablet would then know where you want to tap. So basically, you know, kind of like a mouse replacement, which of course you can't use on the typical smartphone or tablet. And so that company, Tekla, has released the Tekla E, which is second generation hardware, about $540 Canadian. It's going to start shipping in July. Oh, sorry, pre-order right now for $540 Canadian. Once it starts shipping, it'll go up to $680. That's a little bit more expensive than the Tekla Shield, but it's a lot less cheaper than something like what Stephen Hawking is using, which can cost thousands. And, one of the co-founders said, you know, the entire device is now something you can activate for people who have arm movement, elbow movement, or shoulder movement. The device also looks a little bit different now. It's black, a lot more understated, whereas the Shield, the previous device, used to be multicolored. You can still get it in colors if you really want it, but you don't have to now. And now users will be able to connect their phone, tablet, computer, Apple TV, and smart home devices all at once. They'll be able to switch through those devices using the Tekla accessible app or directly through the input tool. And so multiple connections is one of the big differences here. New hardware, it's a lot slimmer to use. And it's just a nice advancement from a Canadian company looking to make life for folks who can't use a traditional computer easier.
Yeah, pretty impressive, actually. It's amazing, again, how technologies come to help people who need that sort of help with those assistive devices. All right, that's all our stories. So now we're going to talk about another excellent partner we work with.
CodeShip is continuous integration and delivery as software as a service that lets you ship your apps with confidence. You can choose between CodeShip Basic or CodeShip Pro. CodeShip Basic is a simple testing and deployment service with pre-installed CI dependencies that works out of the box. The average setup time is only 3 minutes. Or you could try CodeShip Pro. It's a fully customizable continuous integration and delivery service with native Docker support, and it's a lot easier to use than something like Jenkins. It makes it easy to test and deploy your microservices and push to any registry. It's also perfect if you want to deploy with Kubernetes, and it comes with a convenient local command line tool that allows you to run your builds locally, helps encrypt your environment variables, and guarantees 100% parity between your development and production environments. Both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Open source projects are always free over on CodeShip. So if you want to give this a shot, visit CodeShip.com today or check out CodeShip.com/features to find out which CodeShip product is the best fit for you.
And thank you again to CodeShip for their ongoing support of the Canadian Tech Podcast. All right, stuff we like. I have another one. And again, I am on the board of the London Public Library, but this is actually something that if you have a library card, you can get for free. But it's actually a pretty good service no matter what. It's called Press Reader. So with Press Reader, you can actually, when you subscribe, there's apps available for all the major platforms, even Windows phones. You can actually read newspapers, not only from Canada, but all around the world, not only newspapers, but magazines as well. So I've actually been using it the last little while to keep up to date with some of the smaller newspapers and magazines I used to read when I was in England. And again, the app's actually very, very, very good, displays it as it appears. So yeah, it's kind of one of those things that's actually quite worth checking out. But as I said, if you've got a London Public Library card, and many libraries actually have a subscription to this, you can actually use it for free. Pressreader.com. Mr. Derek, I see you have another game.
Yeah, I shouldn't, because it's been an absolute time suck, but I do. I'm still playing Battle Bay. Right. I'm actually doing, I think, pretty well. I came in the top 10 of the last season in the league.
Sweet.
In the league that they put me in automatically after a few battles. And so now I'm in Challenger Division 1, whereas I think I was in Challenger Division 3 up until yesterday. So, yeah, so that's been fun. And just I'm getting to that point where it's not easy. Like, you win a couple of battles, like three battles, then you'll lose two, and so you've lost a lot of the infamy points that you've gained. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun. I'm still torn on whether I'm even going to keep playing this game, but I have picked up SimCity Build It, which is the mobile version of the game. The only thing I don't like is that you are, like, you're not the mayor, you're the dictator. Like, you're constantly under attack with all these notifications to collect your resources from the factory and then, you know, send them to the store to turn them into goods and stuff like that. Like, this is not how being the mayor of a city really works. Like, it's not even close. And whereas other iterations of SimCity, of course, are a lot more hands-off, right? So, like, you set residential zone areas and they build, and you set commercial zone areas and they build. Like, it's a lot more like what running a municipality is really like. And in this case, not so much. It's just... It gets a little aggravating. So I'm still addicted at this, or not addicted, but I'm still into it at this point, I guess would be the best way to put that. But I don't know, man. Like, it's I don't know how long this is gonna last.
Right.
We'll see.
But you know what? Some people like SimCity and they like this sort of thing. So.
Oh, I love SimCity. I just don't like having to literally act like a dictator over my entire bustling town of 16,271 people that live in Sagittarii. So yeah, I'm a little annoyed.
Okay, so there might be an application in the future.
Yeah. There might be a resignation as mayor of Sagittarii. What did I call it? Something like that.
Whatever.
But I'm making good coin with my seeds on the global market, so that's fun.
Awesome. Okay, speaking of seeds, excellent segue, by the way.
Thanks.
Because, you know, I'm up to some gardening finally. What am I up to lately? Finally got some of the gardens set up. A lot of herbs planted in pots, and got this great little plant stand on Kijiji last week.
Nice.
So I got some stuff in there, got some herbs going, was out the patio. It's nice to get out there again. Doing some more e-learning on both Odyssey and DaVinci Resolve, which is a video editing program. So I've been having some fun there. Library board meetings this week, and I got a couple other items to do with that. So yeah, busy week coming up. So in some ways, I'm glad it's a short week. What have you got?
I'm coaching a soccer game tomorrow. We celebrated some birthdays in the family today, my wife's included. I had a meeting with some residents in a newer, newer is a rough word for it. It's a subdivision that's taken a really long time to get built, and for a variety of reasons. And there's supposed to be a noise wall going up, but apparently everybody who lives there and even the people who've bought lots that are going to build soon, they don't want it, which is odd because their backyards back onto the train lines or tracks, like for VIA and Canadian Pacific. But apparently they're fine with it. So, and I'm talking people who have lived there for like more than 5 years. So yeah, that was interesting. Definitely going to work on booking a few guests this week. You and I both have been slacking huge in that department.
Yeah, we've got to do that.
And then just before the show, because I was incredibly curious, I went to Google Translate, and it seems like my Japanese is good enough, what few phrases I know, that I could actually speak into Google Translate, like on the web. It transcribed it properly, at least what I was going for, and translated that into English, which obviously I knew the translations for. So I was like, holy smokes, this actually works. So I did things like, good morning, do you speak English? Which would be an important one if I ever make it to Japan.
You know, the most important one is where is the bathroom?
Yeah, I knew that one at one point. And I know that beer is biru. So that's obviously an important one if I'm, you know, going to go to Kyoto or Tokyo and go to a bar.
There you go. Good for you, man. Yeah. All right. So look at that. We're even under the wire this week. A good holiday podcast.
Perfect.
So don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player FM, wherever else you get your podcast. Retweet us when we tweet about new episodes. Share them on Facebook. Tell a friend. We do have a page. Please follow and like on Facebook. Send us an email to contact@canadiantechpodcast.com. Yeah, to let us know what you think about it as well. We love getting .ca. See, I always do that. I'm just going to set up the email and forward it. That's what I'm
going to
do.
Just in case. Right? Yeah, sure.
Just in case. You know, it's a good thing I have a good, we have a good hosting provider. We'll handle that. So yes, I also have to thank TechDoze once again, techdoze.ca, for the loan of the Snowball Blue mic I'm currently speaking to you all in. So for episode 116 for Monday, May 22nd, 2017, my name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek. I'm still alive, Silva.
Thank you and be well.